Hi, I'm Andrea McLean.
And I'm Nick Feeney.
And between us, we've had 5 marriages,
4 children,
3 divorces,
and 2 dogs.
But now we have one joint effort to master midlife.
Now, this podcast is not about us being experts in mastering midlife, not at all. It's because we have had our fair share of challenges through midlife. And we have done this purely to help ourselves get through midlife. And what we're doing is also bringing in some amazing experts to help us on this journey.
Yeah, so what we do, right, is we thought we'd come together. How can we get guests to come on and help us sort our own problems out? I know, we'll start a podcast and then we'll just invite people on. Brilliant idea.
Amazing.
So, yeah, and it worked because Jane Dockrell has joined us today. Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Do you want to tell us your name, where you've come from and what you do?
So I am Jane Dockrell and I'm an NLP life coach and Reiki healer, and I specialise in children, families and young people. And that comes off the back of a 2-decade career in frontline social care.
So you are exactly the person to talk to today when it talk about surviving Christmas, because surviving Christmas is our theme of today's podcast, because I love a theme. You know, I love a theme.
Absolutely.
Do you like what I've done with the place?
I think it's beautiful. I can see that there was no expense spent.
Correct. Yes. Well, there was a little bit of expense. Otherwise, it would mean theft. But it was dangerously close.
Okay.
Jane, this is why you're here today. This is literally why you're here today, to talk about surviving Christmas. Because, you know, joking aside, that is a key part of it, isn't it? Is the idea of you're trying to do the right thing. You know, yes, okay, it might be grandparents putting, you know, £10 on a card, and it may not necessarily be what the children want. But it is particularly, you know, we can start off by talking about blended families, the coming together of two different ideas as to what works at Christmas, what doesn't work at Christmas, what works as a gift, what works as an amount to spend, you know, this kind of thing. In your line of work, what would you say is perhaps the top 3 challenges that families face at Christmas that they come to you with?
I think for me, it's the dynamics of blended families and how to navigate, because I think if we come back to the facts of when we're going through divorce or we're hit ourselves by emotions, we end up responding to situations from our ego, and that's really unhelpful. And we're also pretty much the worst version of ourselves during those points, especially divorce or separation. It's one of the most traumatic life events, isn't it? So we're never the best version of ourselves. So I think to remember that and to try and hold on to that is really, really helpful. But I think the 3 things that parents come to me for is to navigate that period. How do I allow my children to see their family? How do I manage this for myself? How do I manage the overgifting that family do and try and be satisfied with what I'm going to give my offering? How do I not keep up with the Joneses? How do I... it's the whole navigation period. And it's even down to diet and food. People can wholly disagree on the rules of what people eat in different households and the amount of sugar and children are allowed, or fizzy drinks, not fizzy drinks. It's you know, and when we're already that ego cross unhappy version of ourselves and traumatized, right? Those little things feel like mountains. So it's picking your arguments. And your point earlier about what do you do with your emotions? Do you go with it or do you ignore it? And that's an interesting one, isn't it?
I think especially if there's any parent, and that's, you know, husband or wife, male, female, you know, because we tend to think of a woman hurting at divorce at Christmas, but that's nonsense. People hurt during divorce at Christmas. I know that the first one is always the most painful. I'm not saying that it just disappears by year 2. Of course not. It's always a really challenging time, even years later when the children are grown up. But if there's anyone watching or listening to this and they're facing their first Christmas separate, either to their children because they've decided, right, this is the year that I don't have the kids because we're going to do it, you know, alternate ways, or we're going to split the day in half. What advice would you give to someone who's trying to navigate that this year?
I think the first bit of advice I'd give, and I don't know whether you guys can relate to this, but quite often people come to me and they say, you know what, we're going to do the first one together for the kids. So we're going to have that first Christmas so it's not so brutal. And that is catastrophic in my view. And there's 101 reasons for that. And one of the biggest ones of those is, the biggest reason for that is children and young people are experts at feeling energy better than we are. And they know if you don't want to be there, they know you hate each other. They know those negative feelings and emotions because they can feel them. So don't pretend. Don't pretend and don't lie. Be honest and say, it's really tricky for you that we need to deal with this Christmas differently. And this is all of our first and we will navigate it in the best way possible. How would you like it to feel? What's important for you? What traditions are important for you for us to continue? And what I think the other biggest thing for children and young people is being pulled around from pillar to post, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. I mean, we know that ourselves, don't we? As adults, when you've got to go in-laws, you've got to go between families or big families you were talking about. And for children to be pulled and around and sleeping here, it's tough. They just, they want to settle and they want to ground as much as we do. So I think my top tips would be to ask them what they want.
Do you know, I remember my first Christmas when I separated and we did it together, Jane.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it too.
And it was the weirdest feeling because I then came back into the marital home, cooked dinner, had my sister, her husband and their children, and did all the bits and pieces, you know, opened the presents, cooked the dinner, ate the dinner. And then it was agreed at 6 o'clock I would leave. And that, just reliving that now. Oh, that was just horrible, horrible. Mm. And, yeah, goodness me.
But if you unpick that for children, I mean, if you're feeling it for yourself, but if you unpick that for children, that you've come back into the family home where you once were, you're behaving the way you once did, you're cooking, you're doing those familiar, comfortable things, and then you leave?
It's such, I mean, you know, again, it's you look tough. At it now on hindsight, don't you? And it's like, we're now 10 years on and we still have to navigate exes. And because there's a few of them between us, there's a lot of juggling. And also the children are older now, they've got boyfriends and they want to, again, go to their families and things. So this year, because it is a bit of a challenge, because even at the age that they're at, we've been guilty of going, okay, well, if you do that day there, you come and this day here. So they don't get to settle. They don't get to chill in their, you know, pajamas because they're like, oh, well, I don't want to go to bed too late this day because I've got to get up early and get over here so I can get back here. And this year we've just gone, do you know what? We're bringing Christmas Day forward. And because that's the thing as well, you have to realise that Christmas Day is just a day.
Mm.
And how you celebrate it can easily be moved.
Mm.
And so we're having Christmas Day on the 20th this year. So that all our girls and our son can be there. So then if they've got to do whatever they've got to do with their other mums and dads and things like that, there's no pressure from us. That you've got to now go there Christmas Day, be back here Boxing Day, you know, everyone can actually try and enjoy Christmas.
It's interesting because I think that we all react so differently to challenges, or trauma, or difficulties, or however we want to phrase what this time of year can be. And I know that obviously I've been married twice, so I've had I've been married three times, but what I mean is I have two children by two different dads, so I've been through two separate divorces where I had to navigate this again, and then it became even more challenging because now there's two children going off to two separate places. And I remember, and that doesn't get any easier. And I remember my very, very first Christmas with when my son was little. So he was only about two. Now, bearing in mind, this was not how I thought my future would be. I thought I was going to get married and stay married for the rest of my life to a ripe old age. I had never foreseen this in my future at all, that I would ever have a Christmas that I wasn't with my child. And so for the first Christmas, I said, I want to make everyone happy. So he went to his dad's, and I had the first Christmas on my own. And I remember my sister was staying with me at the time, and I refused. Again, it's so funny, isn't it? Years later, my son's now in his 20s. I can still feel the pain of that day. I refused to accept that was Christmas Day. So I didn't get out of bed until the afternoon. I refused to have any kind of Christmas music, wouldn't watch any kind of Christmassy things on the telly. I lay on the floor in my pajamas and cried. Mm. Tears and snot. It was awful. Mm. And then I got ready for when he came back, all set for Boxing Day, and we did Christmas on that day, and I just pretended that everything was awesome and everything was was great. And my heart was in a million pieces. I can still remember how awful that is. So I think, again, and the only reason I share that and relive it is to again, show anyone who's watching or listening, this is going to feel really horrible for you right now, but you will get through it and you will get to the other side. You just find a way. You find your own traditions that work for you. You know, everyone talks about Christmas is a time for traditions. You're absolutely right. But doesn't mean that the traditions that happened through generations of your own family, your family is not living your life. So you can build your own traditions. And whether it is that you have Christmas 2 weeks early or a week late, or you, whatever, make it work for you, and actually you can find joy again, and you can find happiness in this time of year when at this moment right now you may feel that you never can.
Do you know one thing that my girl's mum did was create lots of new traditions for the girls, and actually made it really special for them, and she still carries on
doing that for them. Great.
And I think, you know, I know this is a Christmas podcast and it is surviving and it's got a little bit deep and quite...
Well, it's emotional.
It is emotional. Yeah. But I think the thing is, to come out of this is just, you know, what got you there isn't going to get you there. And it's just remembering to take that emotion out when you can, to think about that bigger picture, to have those conversations with the children. And again, it depends on their ages, doesn't it, as to where they are and all that. But also remember that you can make any day around Christmas.
But also I think it's about being honest, isn't it? Because I can think of three or four families who are best of friends. They've separated and remained best friends. So they celebrate all traditions and all events together, because that's how they roll, and that's perfectly fine. But what you have to do is be honest with yourself of, can I be in the same room with you, and is this healthy for all of us emotionally to do this? And that's the tricky thing, because we think it's the best thing to do at the time, but actually sometimes it's not. And you're right, it's just the first year is the hardest year, and it is the year to get through and to learn from, almost, and think about new traditions of what next year might look like, and what are the traditions that are important to us, and what are the ones we can actually let go.
Yeah.
Not celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day.
Yeah. If that's your thing. Or like you said, ask the kids.
Yeah.
Or put on a great Christmas movie. Yeah. And eat a box of chocolates.
There you go. That was me in year three. Oh, but there we are. Oh, actually, talking about, you know, Christmas traditions and all this sort of thing, what about playing games at Christmas? Because you and I have really different attitudes to playing games at Christmas time. Oh, well, just kind of generally. But it kind of came to a head at Christmas time. Because, you know, everyone talks about whether it's Monopoly or whatever and bring out the board games, you know. Oh my goodness, this is terrible. All you do is sit around and watch TV. What about switching off the television and actually playing a game? What about not doing that? Because actually people end up nearly murdering each other because it gets so stressful.
Oh.
I'm looking at you, Mr. Yeah. Feeny.
Do you know what? It's so funny. When the two families came together, Andrea's side of the family, very quiet and very polite. And then there's my side of the family, very loud, very competitive. Oh my God.
It was carnage.
when we played a couple of board games the first time. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were people leaning across the table and shouting. It was just, we were all sort of, what's happening?
Yeah, we don't do that.
We don't do that. We don't do that here.
No. But we do play certain games. We play, what's that Ellen game with the phone?
Yeah, so
it says a word.
Oh, heads up, is it?
Heads
up, yeah.
Love
that. Or you can do it with a poke. I love that.
Love that game. And what is that other game we play?
Oh, the one with the cups and ping pong balls.
No, well, there is that one. That
not not beer pong, not that one. It's not that. It's a game you play with kids, and you have to do like funny little tricks with
challenges and things like
with
that,
bounce the ball so many times and catch it in a cup and all that sort of thing. And it's actually brilliant because you can play it with your granny or the kids. It's really good. We can't remember what it's called, but it was that one.
Yeah, that's brilliant. But no, I was just trying to remember the other one where it's like, who's most likeliest to?
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh my gosh. So
sounds like truth or dare.
It was.
It was almost like
we accidentally went to a very dark place, Jane.
but what was funny though, as it progressed, and people were sort of sussing out, it's almost like Cards Against Humanity, isn't it? Once you start sussing out who you're playing it with and like the level that you can go, oh my God, some of the answers came out
were hilarious. It got very dark.
Yeah. Do you play any games?
Yes. In fact, we all of ours love card games. In fact, we've got five between us, as you know. And quite often they'll all gravitate home on a Saturday night, one for a nice home cooked meal and two to play cards or board games. So, but like you, it gets really competitive, but three of them can now drink alcohol. So there has been alcohol as well sometimes. But yeah, I find it fascinating when they all come home, seeing their personalities and through games. But my 10-year-old actually just got for his birthday the best game. We just got it out of the box at the weekend. Pictionary Air.
Pictionary what?
Air. If you haven't got it, that should be on your list of the must-have Christmas presents. So you're given, you do it on a screen. So you have one screen and you're drawing on the screen in the air. And the other, the person who's got to guess has a screen. So you can't see what you're drawing. So what you're drawing, when you can't draw anyway, looks nothing like. And so you're just giggling. Everybody's giggling. So what could be normally quite a competitive game. So in fact, actually, everyone who's a blended or divorced family should buy Pictionary Air for this Christmas.
So you're drawing blind, essentially.
Yes, because basically you can't see. So you can see, but you can't see the detail. And also because it's air and it's like a laser, it comes out and it's just so unclear. And then, of course, when you've got your screen and you're saying to people, have I got any space here? Can I redraw it here? And you're trying to navigate where you've got space to recreate your picture because no one's guessing it.
This sounds really good. We're going to have to get this.
Honestly,
it sounds like trying to draw with a sparkler, but it stays.
That's the one.
Rather than fading.
That's the description.
That's so funny.
Honestly. And so everybody's giggling. So there's no space for the competitive leaning across the table. It was a pair.
Or also, very good at drawing. I think you're going to figure out exactly what it is.
Who is this voice you keep doing, by the way?
That's me. That's how I, in my head, that's how I talk. Because I'm very good at drawing. No, I wanted to sort of wrap up today. But it kind of leads on from obviously being around the table and, you know, games and this sort of thing is jokes. Because obviously Christmas is not Christmas without crackers and really terrible jokes. And one of the things that we actually used is when we were an early blended family was I bought a couple of dad joke books and I put them by the dining table so that then when there was a bit of a lull and you want to keep the kids there and not just let them sit in their phones and this sort of thing. I'd give everyone a joke book and then we all had to like pick a terrible joke. And that was a really easy way of literally breaking the ice because nobody wanted to because they were terrible. But the worse they were, actually, the bigger groans that they were, then everyone started sort of looking through the book and trying to find terrible dad jokes. It's only me that finds it funny because I love dad jokes. But it worked, didn't it?
It was actually a great icebreaker, definitely. But I love a dad joke. I can never bloody remember any.
Oh, I've got some. Oh, I did some research.
Because I can never remember
them. Okay. Oh, here we go. And I am going to... We've got some crackers on the table. And I'm gonna pull them. But I just wanted to get these out there. Okay, are you ready? Dad jokes. How many apples can you grow on a tree?
Don't know.
All of them. Am I right? Okay, here we go. It's a Christmas one. What kind of music do elves listen to?
Elvis.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I think that should be the answer. It's not. It's rap music because elves wrap all the presents.
I prefer mine.
Yours is better.
I prefer yours.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, here's a good one.
All. Not competitive.
Right. What is a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
R, yeah.
You think it's going to be R, but no, it's not. It's the letter C because they're at C.
Where did you get these jokes from?
Terrible dad jokes.
Oh, my God. They are.
Okay, this is the last one. Did you hear about the bossy man at the bar?
No.
No.
He ordered everyone around. Dum-dum-tsh.
That was a dad joke.
Yes.
Not your finest, though.
No. But there we are.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Shall we, as is tradition at Christmas, shall we all don a hat and pull a cracker?
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Do you want to pass them out?
Let's do that. Here we go.
You pass up to Jane.
There you go, Jane. There we go. And we're putting this at the end.
We are. Oh, this is hilarious because you can't see what we're doing.
There we go.
We'll have our
you look really cute. You look so nice.
All right. I can't actually see what I look like, but there we go. Sod it. I'm owning it.
Rocking it.
You have such a kind of pixie face.
All right, elf ears.
I know. I know. This is the only time of year where my ears come into their own. I'm not getting them out. Right, you ready?
Right.
We have to read the joke.
Oh, we're going to have to do it like this. There we go.
No?
Well, unless Jane's got a bloody long arm.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Right, do that. Can we do that?
Oh.
Right.
3, 2, 1.
Hey! Oh! Look at that. Loser, loser.
Winner, winner. Right, joke.
Okay.
Oh, I've got measuring tape.
Oh, I've got a puzzle thing.
That'll come in handy. I won't be able to read this anyway. I need my glasses. Here we go. Which athlete would be the warmest in winter?
Which what?
Athlete would be the warmest in winter. A long jumper.
That's not an athlete. I thought you meant like the name of a person. So I was thinking like Usain Bolt or something. And I was thinking about, I don't know what his first name that came into my head.
I don't make him up.
You don't? Oh, I need
I've got my
glasses.
Nail clippers. Always handy.
Oh, here we go. Who's, oh, that's actually not very nice. I don't know if I want to read this one. Okay, I'm going to read this. Just putting it out there. I don't find this very funny. Who's never hungry at Christmas? The turkey. He's always stuffed. I feel really sorry for the turkey now.
Oh. Yeah, it's retucking on Christmas Day. Actually, talking of Christmas dinner,
right?
I think that's got to be one of the most stressful things, isn't it?
Mm.
Right? Preparing a Christmas dinner, inviting loads of people round and everything like that. You know, what do?
You ask a chef for advice.
That's what you do. You ask a chef for advice. Well, we asked a good friend of ours, didn't we, Chris Baber, about planning Christmas. We're going to a pub. We're keeping it simple.
Snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for those of you that actually are inviting loads of people around, his suggestions were, 1, keep it simple. Don't get too complicated with the amount of things that you do.
Don't try and MasterChef it.
Don't try and MasterChef it was his exact words. Yeah. Absolutely. Do all the chopping.
Yeah.
Beforehand and invite someone that you like to share a bottle of wine whilst you do it and make it a social thing.
Yeah. Right? Also have food that you can put down the middle so everyone can help themselves too, so it becomes a really sociable thing. Because so often we think of plating up, whether it's, you know, you're slaving away in the kitchen and everyone's laughing, sitting around the table and you're plating up. But if you put things in the middle that everyone can help themselves to.
Yeah. And it's like, and we only know this because he very kindly came around and cooked us Sunday lunch the other day.
He
and
did.
We got chatting about it. And this is the advice he gave us. So
yeah,
keep it simple. Don't master chef it. Put it all out in the middle. Let people help themselves and have some fun while you do it.
Oh, and make the dessert the night before and put it in the fridge. And then you don't need to think about it.
We used to do all of it, actually, Christmas Eve. When we were doing it, we used to do the vegetables all Christmas Eve. And we used to get a bit tipsy, having, like you said, sharing the chopping and sharing something alcoholic with some Christmas music. Because you can get the potatoes and all the veg done the day before.
100%.
Well, actually cook them.
No, not cold.
Just
chop them, prep
them. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And leave it somewhere cold the day before.
Yeah, we did that with my dad.
Yeah.
And when we were younger and growing up, that's what we would do. And like, you know, back in the day, if I invited too many people around at Christmas, then I'd do that. But also another tip he gave was about with the drinking.
Uh-huh.
The trouble is when you invite loads of people around, you end up being barman, don't you?
Yeah.
Right? And you're running around making them drinks. He said, get yourself an ice bucket, put some wine and some beers in it, even make some cocktails up or like a warm cocktail, like a mulled
punch.
Wine, wasn't it?
Oh,
or a punch,
yeah.
And get people to help themselves.
That's a great idea. And you can do an alcoholic-free mulled wine as well, can't mm-hmm. you? So that anyone driving...
But where's the fun in that?
My husband adds extra vodka into ours. Just make
into your
fun.
Mulled wine. Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't do that before cooking.
That was
Thank
obviously
you.
We were cooking for a blended family.
Exactly. Thank you, guys. That was lovely, wasn't
it? Thank you. Well,
special Christmas edition.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas to you as well. And may you master midlife this Christmas.